Clooney is back on the market. I'm Lori London, Fox News Radio.
Welcome to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660, your place for biblically informed conversation on issues that matter. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry and how you can make a tax-deductible donation, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now, here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, welcome into this Thursday edition, Thursday, May 29th edition of the Calling for Truth radio program today. Let me read a little quote to you from Thomas Watson in his wonderful work, A Body of Divinity. He wrote, "We have enough in us to move God to correct us, but nothing to move him to adopt us. Therefore, exalt free grace. Begin the work of angels here and bless him with your praises, who has blessed you in making you his sons and daughters." What a wonderful quote that is from Thomas Watson. And it's a perfect quote to begin the program with today, because we're going to be talking about the subject of adoption, specifically Together for Adoption. And we have a number of folks that are gathered together today in order to discuss this topic. Let me start with a brief introduction to some of the guests that we'll have joining the program today. First of all, with me in the studio is Dan Kruver. Dan is the outreach coordinator for Carolina Hope Christian Adoption Agency. And Dan, it's wonderful to have you back on the program here again.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And then on the phone, who we'll be bringing into the discussion here in just a couple minutes, we have Dr. Joel Beakey. Dr. Beakey is the president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. He's also the pastor of Heritage Reformed Congregation. And he's going to be joining the conversation in just about 5 minutes here. And then later in the broadcast, at the half of the hour, at 1:30, Dr. Russell Moore, the dean of the School of Theology and senior vice president of the Academic Administration for the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and also the Executive Director of the Henry Institute, will be joining us in the conversation today as well. And what all three of these gentlemen have in common, what they share as a common bond, is all three of them are passionate about the subject of adoption. Dan, I think it was back in February when we had you on last time, we were talking about with Caveman's Call, and Derek Webb were here, and we were talking about their Overdress tour that you held over there at Southside Fellowship in Greenville, right here in Greenville, a concert that was a benefit concert for Carolina Hope Christian Adoption Agency's Ethiopian program. How have things been going since then? And tell us a little bit about Together for Adoption. Bring us up to speed on these things.
Well, our Carolina Hope's Ethiopian program is going really, really well. Some neat things happening there. And we're seeing more and more families inquire about adoption, particularly with Ethiopia. And one of the things we're trying to do is we're forming these regional conferences called Together for Adoption.
Hmm.
And Together for Adoption was basically born out of three things that kind of coalesced in my thinking, mm-hmm. probably over a nine-month period beginning last summer. The first was the recognition that God is doing a significant work of bringing the gospel back to its rightful place of centrality within the church.
Mm, excellent.
And I see that happening not just with individual believers here and there, but with pastors and churches. And it really runs across denominational lines, that there's this growing passion for the gospel and proclaiming it accurately and passionately.
Mm.
And one of the results of that movement of God is the Together for the Gospel conferences, mm-hmm. which were launched by Al Mohler, Mark Dever, C.J. Mahaney, and Ligon Duncan. And I just got back from the most recent one, I guess two months ago now.
Every 2 years they've been holding those, right?
Yeah. Every 2 years, mm-hmm. in Louisville, Kentucky. And so you have this gathering together around the gospel. And what we did was intentionally play off that the name of that conference you have, Together for the Gospel, and We Are Together for Adoption. And the reason why we played off that is because of the second thing, and that is the relationship between the gospel and God's work of adopting us into His household. B.A. Gerrish, in his book Grace and Gratitude, argues that John Calvin understood the gospel as the good news of adoption. And let me just give you a quote here from John Calvin himself. The gospel is good news because in it is declared that Christ, the one true, natural, and eternal Son of the living God, has been made human to make us children of God, His Father, by adoption. By knowledge of the gospel, we are made children of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, heirs of God with Jesus Christ. So it seems to me that along with this recovery of the gospel within the church, that we will also see a recovery of Scripture's teaching on adoption, because adoption is the good news of the gospel. And then the third is Paul's use of the term adoption itself. It's a term he borrowed from the Roman world. Paul's the only one who uses the term in the New Testament. He borrows it from the Roman world, so it has horizontal meaning, where you would have an individual who did not have an heir and he wanted to pass his estate on, so they would adopt an older male child. And Paul takes that term within the Roman world that has horizontal significance, and he fills it with vertical, redemptive, historical meaning. So though the term had horizontal significance at first, Paul takes it and he fills it with redemptive, historical meaning. And what we have today now is, when people hear the term adoption, they think primarily, once again, on horizontal, on the horizontal level, rather than the vertical dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we want to do with Together for Adoption is to gather believers together and focus primarily on vertical adoption, which is God adopting us in Christ.
Yes.
Focusing on that, and then considering some of the implications that flow out of vertical adoption for orphan care and horizontal adoption. So there's a lot of neat things going on, and I think a focus on adoption goes hand in hand with the gospel itself. As John Calvin would argue, that adoption is the good news of the gospel. And so we're wanting to sponsor these regional conferences that focus on the theology of adoption and then look at some of its implications for orphan care and horizontal adoption, which is why I'm really excited about books like Dr. Beakey's Heirs with Christ.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Now, let me tell our listeners here a couple of things. One, I don't know if this is the right point that you want to do this, but there is a website available that people can go to find out more about Together for Adoption. It's just been put up. They're going to add a lot more to it, but it looks really good, the part that's up there so far, and it'll give you all the pertinent information. Let me give you that website very quickly. It's www.togetherforadoption.org. That's www.togetherforadoption.org. And you can go out there and find out all the information about what Dan is alluding to here about these regional conferences and the goal and the mission behind Together for Adoption. Also, Dan just made reference to a brand new book that is coming out called Heirs with Christ, The Puritans on Adoption. And this is written by Joel Beakey, who we'll be talking to in just a few minutes here. But the foreword is by Dan Curver, who's right here in the studio with us. And so Dan wrote the foreword for this book, and I have a copy of it right here in my hand. And I'll tell you what, we've got some copies that we're going to give away today on the program. And so I don't even think this is out in bookstores yet. I think it just came from the publisher. And so you'll be the first to get a copy of this. Let me say, if you call in and you give a comment or a question for our guest today, we'll go ahead and reserve a copy, as long as our supplies last here in the studio. But we'll go ahead and reserve a copy for you. Also, I should say that, if you want a book the last few days or last few weeks or so, you should give somebody else a chance. In fact, let me go a little bit further on this. If you've been adopted, or maybe you have adopted a child or you're thinking about adopting a child. Let me say that we will give you a first shot here at the book. And so if you want to call in and comment on that today, that would be great. Let's bring in our second guest into the conversation today. Dr. Joel Beakey is with us via the phone lines. Dan's actually right here in the studio with me, but Dr. Beakey is with us via the phone lines. And he, again, is the president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. He's also a pastor of Heritage Reformed Congregation. And so, Dr. Beakey, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the Calling for Truth radio program today.
Well, my pleasure.
Dr. Beakey, we're hoping to delve into your book here a little bit. Let me ask you first and foremost, why did you decide to write this particular book about the Puritans on adoption? And maybe even a more detailed question than that would be, why did you think this needed to be written?
Well, I got nudged in this direction, first of all, by receiving an assignment from Presbyterian and Reformed Publishing to contribute a chapter to a Festschrift for Wayne Spears. Mm-hmm. The assignment was to do something from the Westminster Confession of Faith. Mm-hmm. And so I looked at the Westminster, and I had an internal desire to do work in adoption just because I felt that I hadn't really plumbed for myself the depths and the riches of what it means to have God as my father and Christ as my elder brother. And I looked at chapter 12 of the Westminster Confession of Faith, the first Reformed confessional chapter on adoption, spiritual adoption. Mm-hmm. And I decided I tried to do that. And when I began to do that, I came across J.I. Packer's famous statement in the book Knowing God that the Puritans had not written on adoption. Mm-hmm. And that troubled me greatly because here the Westminster Confession of Faith has a whole chapter on it. And, of course, Westminster was written by Puritans. Mm. So I began to look for other resources, and I finally came up with seven major treatises written by Puritans on adoption, none of which have ever been reprinted. And so I realized I was into a gold mine, and I realized I was doing something no one else had ever done. And that got me all the more excited, and I decided to just write as long as I wanted to on the subject and then trim it back for the article I was to write. Mm. And the end result was I actually wrote a book and then trimmed it back to an article. And after the article was out, I published the book, and that just came out this week.
Well, I'm so glad you did, and I have an opportunity coming up to interview Dr. Packer. Maybe that'll be one of my questions to him. I'll ask him if he has read your book on the Puritans and adoption. Let me ask you another question, if I could, Dr. Beakey. First of all, I've appreciated your work for a number of years and had an opportunity to see you at one of the Ligonier conferences and hear you speak there not that long ago, and so just really appreciate your ministry over the years. But let me ask you that many Christians, it seems, assume that adoption and regeneration are synonymous, that adoption is just another way of referring to some aspect of the new birth. Do the Puritans address this in any of those seven works that you spoke about?
Well, certainly they do. And they do acknowledge that the two, adoption and regeneration, can be quite close to one another in terms of the fact that both of them bring us into a new relationship with God. But adoption refers specifically to our status with God, that we are now declared to be children of God rather than children of Satan. Mm-hmm. Regeneration is that initial work of the Spirit that begins to, that definitively changes us and begins to give us the nature of adopted children. Mm. So, for example, in the horizontal level of adoption, it's one thing to have the status, I'm an adopted child. It's quite another to have the internal nature of the child begin to become like the parents. In spiritual adoption, that happens radically in regeneration. And then, of course, in sanctification, we learn to live that out more and more and become more conformed to Christ. So there's one difference. The other difference the Puritans point out is that in terms of realizing subjectively in my soul the reality and the glory and beauty of adoption, that becomes a very intimate thing. So it's, I'm adopted in terms of status. I'm justified. I'm adopted, justified by faith, adopted into the family of God at the same moment. When I'm regenerated, all that happens at the same moment. But there's a growing process of the realization and the consciousness that I'm adopted and that God is my father and Christ is my elder brother. And the Puritans were fond of describing that in terms of a real family intimacy. And that's where adoption, I think, accents the beauty of the family relationship. When I'm justified, I'm declared legally right with God. But when I'm conscious of my adoption, I'm brought in around the family table and I become part of the family.
Mm.
So, one of the Puritans put it this way. He said, it's like a judge who's on his judgment seat, and he looks at the person who's being judged and says, "Well, I declare you acquitted. You're justified. You're freed," which is wonderful in terms of that person's status.
Yes,
but it's quite another for the judge to get off of his throne and come down and say, "By the way, I'm also your father, and I want to take you home and feed you and nurture you." So adoption, the Puritans regarded adoption as the apex of all the aspects of salvation.
Hmm. That's a great illustration. I think that really helps us to get it straight in our mind as to how adoption deals with salvation, plays that role in the work of salvation. Let me ask you about sanctification now. Sanctification, you know, is another one of those subjects, I think, or doctrines that really we don't consider it much in terms of the relation to adoption. In your book, you wrote that the Puritan Thomas Brooks asserted that sanctification is simply a living out of one's adoption and sonship. Would you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. Well, what that means, I think, is this. If you're adopted, even in an earthly family, in a horizontal level, you belong to that new family, and therefore, this is your father, this is your mother, this is your brother, this is your sister, and so on. And you need to have your identity in that new family. And so what Brooks is saying is, when you're adopted by God spiritually, you need to live out of that new relationship, that new identity. And as you have all your relationships in life transformed, you will become more holy. You'll become more sanctified. And the way that works, I think, is illustrated for us by John in particular in 1 John 3, 1, 2, and 3, where he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And he begins to explain how all our relationships, because we are sons of God, change. So you have the relationship, of course, with God himself that changes. Instead of seeing everything coming from God to us in terms of a judicial pronouncement, we now look at things coming to us, for example, afflictions, as a paternal love, as we read in Hebrews 12. So we have a whole different relationship with God because we see everything God is doing toward us as really for our best welfare. And then John goes on to say, actually, your relationship with the world will change too, because he says, As the world hated Jesus, so the world will hate you. So there's an antithetical relationship there that shows us that when we get adopted into God's family, the world will not take kindly to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then John goes on to say there's also a change in relationship in terms of how we view the future. He says, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when Jesus shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So if I'm adopted, I realize he's making me to be like himself.
Mm-hmm.
Not only to enter to his family here, but I'll be with his family and with Christ forever in glory.
Mm.
And then he goes on and says, and this is very important, our relationship to ourselves will change as well. Because he says in verse 3, every man that has this hope in him, the hope that he's adopted of God, purifies himself even as he is pure. So what he's saying is, if this is your family, this is your identity, you want to honor your father, you will live a holy life. You will do what your father wants you to do. And so every area of life, also my brothers and sisters in my family around me, will be viewed differently. I want to love them all out of the love of God to me shown in adoption. So sanctification really is just living out what I really am as an adopted child of God.
Well put, Dr. Beakey. We really appreciate that. I want to ask you a follow-up question about the idea of union with Christ. But before I do, I want to run to the phone line very quickly and give our callers an opportunity to ask you a question as well. So let's go to line two. We've got Gail up. Gail, welcome into the Calling for Truth radio program today.
Hi, Pastor.
Hey, Gail.
First, I have a comment, and then I have a question.
Okay.
By the way, I'm really enjoying this. I'm hearing things. You know, I've heard people speak on adoption before, and its relationship to Scripture and so forth. But I'm hearing some things that are really a lot deeper than I've heard before. So I'm enjoying that very much.
Great.
But I want to make the comment. You know, here at Strides, you know, we work with kids that are behind in reading and math, and it's a Christian ministry. And of course, you've been so kind as to mention us on the show a couple of times. About 10% of the kids that come here are adopted kids. And I have found it very interesting to see that we were just talking about it, Mrs. Arnie and myself. We can only think of one child in the 3.5 years that we've been taking kids in, and we're probably talking about 250 kids. So this is at least 25 kids probably that have been adopted. Can only think of one that's been taken in by a family that was not a real strong Christian family. I just admire these Christian families so much that reach out to kids and take them in spite of the fact that they know there may be some problems there. And this may be years and years of helping a child to adjust to things, and yet they just trust the Lord and go right ahead and do it.
Well, that's a great comment, Gail. And, you know, that's really the practical application of some of what we're talking about, the tying it to the Christian faith. Now, we're not saying that everybody who is a Christian then must go out and adopt a child. You know, you've got to do what you feel the Lord is leading you to do. But we should all be interested in the adoption. We should be interested in promoting it for sure, supporting agencies that are doing it, and, you know, playing some sort of a role in it, because when we really think it through, it's so closely attached to the theology of adoption. You know, this is what has taken place with us. I'm going to give Dan a second here to comment on this as well. But I think what you're seeing is really this playing out in the life of believers. Dan?
And I have a theology question, too, in just a minute.
Okay. Dan, you want to comment on what she had said so far?
Yeah, I think what she says is very insightful, because you look at in the book of Ephesians, where Paul begins the letter by saying that we have received adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, and then later on he says in chapter 2 that we were once sons of disobedience, children of wrath, and yet God extended amazing grace and kindness to us to bring us into his household, as he says later on in chapter 2. So the more we understand what it is we've received from God in Christ through our adoption, that's going to be, we're going to find that working itself out in how we view adoption horizontally, that we won't just look for the children who have their act together, that we won't look for children that necessarily don't have any problems. We only want infants. We don't want the older children because they're difficult. We won't just look for those kinds of children because of what we have received in our adoption, that we were once children of wrath and sons of disobedience, and God has been so kind and gracious to us in the Beloved to bring us into his household.
In other words, we've been so, we above all people upon the face of the earth should be able to understand something of the situation of an orphan child. And so that's a good point, Gail. Gail, I got to have you just state the question very quickly, and then I got to run back to Dr. Beakey before he has to go, if that's okay.
Okay, the question is, I've heard Muslims do not adopt, and I'm wondering if anybody knows why they don't permit adoption.
You said who doesn't adopt? I'm sorry.
Muslims
don't adopt. Okay, thank you, Gail. Excellent question. I don't know, Dr. Beakey, did you ever hear that? Do Muslims adopt children?
I'm going to have to plead ignorance on that one, brother.
Okay, let me throw it to Dan. You ever heard of that? I didn't know that either.
I can point her to a resource. It's written, an article written by Justin Taylor.
Okay.
On, I think it's called From Adopted to Adopting, and he addresses that very issue of Muslims not adopting.
Okay,
and,
that might be out on Justin's, on his website, and that website is theologica.blogspot.com, and so you can go out there and be able to find out that answer there, Gail, hopefully. We got to go to a quick commercial break. Dr. Beakey, can you stay with us for just a minute?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be back from the break, and then we'll finish up our question with you, and then we'll go to Dr. Russell Moore. We'll be on right after you. We're speaking with a number of folks here today about the subject of adoption, both from a theological aspect as well as from a practical or physical aspect as well. Dan Kruver is with us. Dr. Joel Beakey is with us via the phone lines. And we'll be talking with Dr. Russell Moore in just a few minutes as well. Stay tuned here with us, and you're welcome to join that conversation. I'll give you the number when we come back from the break.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Bottles of pills and no relief. Are these medicines making you well or sick? Are they just covering up your symptoms or causing new problems? Hello, I'm Carmen Hamilton. Join Dr. Izquierdo and myself on Christian Talk 660 for Live Well, your chiropractic magazine on the airwaves. Hear stories of hope from Dr. Manuel Izquierdo, how specific chiropractic care can be a new way to live well.
In 1994, Southern Stone began as the first manufactured stone installer in the upstate. A family-owned business, now with two generations involved, their team has over 55 years of experience serving the Carolinas with both natural and manufactured stone, as well as many other related products and services. Allow Southern Stone to assist you in making your dream home a reality. Call toll-free 1-800-288-5587. That's 800-288-5587.
It's been said, as the church goes, so goes the culture. If we want to see real change in our world, the church must be awakened and equipped to make a difference. This is Paul Dean with Calling for Truth. The things you've heard us talk about on the radio can be brought to your church. A seminar dealing with theology, cultural engagement, Christian worldview, biblical counseling, or even church reform might be the complement to your ministry you've been praying for. Call us to set something up at 420-2688.
When choosing auto insurance coverage, it's important to first consider choosing an auto insurance agency. Hi, I'm Isaac Feynman, and I chose Taylor's Insurance Agency. As independent agents, Taylor's shops from several of the leading insurance companies to find the best coverage that fits your needs. Right now, receive a $5 gift card just for stopping by or calling for a free quote. Get set up with a low-down payment and a great monthly payment plan. Taylor's Insurance Agency, 2854B Wade Hampton Boulevard. Call 609-5550, 609-5550.
You'd be surprised at how many women are heartbroken in their marriages. It might be that you are one of these women. You may simply have some unbiblical expectations, or the issue may be deeper. Hi, this is Jane Johnson with the Providence Center for Biblical Counseling. Call us for encouragement. Call us for direction from God's Word. Call us, the Providence Center for Biblical Counseling, at 864-420-2688.
When choosing auto insurance coverage, it's important to first consider choosing an auto insurance agency. Hi, I'm Isaac Feynman, and I chose Taylor's Insurance Agency. As independent agents, Taylor's shops from several of the leading insurance companies to find the best coverage that fits your needs. Right now, receive a $5 gift card just for stopping by or calling for a free quote. Get set up with a low-down payment and a great monthly payment plan. Taylor's Insurance Agency, 2854B Wade Hampton Boulevard. Call 609-5550, 609-5550.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. We appreciate you tuning in today. For more information about our ministry, the Biblical Counseling Center, and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Calling for Truth radio program. Today we have a number of guests on the program, and we're going to go to another guest here in just a minute, but I wanted to finish up our thoughts here with Dr. Joel Beakey. We were referring to his book, Heirs with Christ, The Puritans on Adoption, forward by Dan Kruver, who's here with me in the studio as well. And so, Dr. Beakey, if you could any final thoughts on what we were talking about, why, you know, this was so important that the Puritans, that you state what the Puritans have to say on this important topic, and then we'll go ahead and have to let you go, and we'll switch to our third guest for the remainder of the program.
Sure. Well, let me just say that the comprehensive overall privileges of recognizing that Jesus is my brother, my elder brother, and that he being the natural and the unique and the only begotten Son of God brings me through union with him to be his brother, his adopted brother, by grace for his sake, is just mind-blowing in terms of its ramifications.
Mm-hmm.
Because through Christ, I then understand that everything comes to me through the Father. My faith gets strengthened by the Father through his promises, his fatherly promises, and through prayer. My Father comforts me with his love and his pity. And he brings me into intimate union, communion with his Son. He counsels me, and he directs me, and he brings me into spiritual liberty, and he enables me to perform spiritual duties, looking to him as my Father for Christ's sake.
Mm.
And my Father will preserve me, and he'll keep me from falling, and he'll bring me all the way to glory to share eternity with him. So for those listeners who maybe don't have a real close relationship with their Father, this opens up brand new vistas, and they've got to learn to think that what they lack in their earthly father, they can find, and much more, in their heavenly Father.
Mm.
I just read recently that the average father in America today spends 1.8 minutes with each of his child per day.
Mm.
But the beauty of this relationship is that the believer can go to his Father in heaven at any time, any day. And there's a real vital relationship that gets cultivated through the spiritual disciplines, and it just transforms my entire life, my daily experience.
Well, those are excellent parting comments here, and thank you for summarizing that so well, and especially ending with that, because I think that's so encouraging for many of our listeners that are out there. Again, we're speaking there with Dr. Joel Beakey and about his book, Heirs with Christ, The Puritans on Adoption. It's put out by Reformation Heritage Books. If you want to go out to our website, callingfortruth.org, there's a link there that'll take you to Reformation Heritage Books, and you can obtain a copy there. Thank you again, Dr. Beakey, for joining us for that portion of the program today.
Thank you so much.
Okay. We're going to switch gears just a little bit here. We have another guest speaking on this same subject. Dr. Russell Moore is on the line. Dr. Moore is the Dean of the School of Theology and the Senior Vice President for Academic Administration at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He also serves as the Executive Director of the Henry Institute. I love reading the blogs and the articles out there, and so we have Dr. Russell Moore on the line with us now. Dr. Moore, thanks for being on the Calling for Truth radio program today.
Well, it's great to be with you.
I don't know how much of the conversation you were able to hear. I know we're kind of grabbing you out of in between meetings here and bringing you onto the program. But we wanted to talk with you specifically about this subject of adoption. And
yeah.
We want to know, we understand that you are writing a book on this subject as well. It's, from what I understand, supposed to come out in the spring.
That's right.
I wanted to know what specific issue related to adoption that you're going to be addressing in that book.
Well, the book is called Adopted for Life, A Guide to Adoption for Christian Families and Churches. It's being published by Crossway Books. And often when people find out that I'm writing a book about adoption, they'll ask, well, is it about the doctrine of adoption, or is it about, you know, real adoption? And my answer to that is There's really no way to answer that question. It's kind of like being asked, are you writing a book about God's fatherhood or about human fatherhood? Well, the two are intertwined in Scripture. So you understand something about how God is Father by seeing the way that human fathers behave. Writer of Hebrews talks about the way that we are disciplined by our earthly fathers. That shows us something about the discipline of our Father God. Jesus says, you would not give to your child as a father a stone when he asks for bread. That shows you something about the fatherhood of God. But also, the way that God acts as Father informs to us how we are to treat our children and how we're to parent. The same thing is true with adoption. Adoption in Scripture is gospel. It tells us who we are, that we belong. It tells us what our inheritance is. Adoption is also mission. We're told to advocate for the helpless and for the abandoned. So, in my mind, the minute that you start talking about what it means to be adopted into the family of God, you immediately then have to turn around and say, well, then how does that apply to the way that we treat the fatherless and bring them into our own families? Mm. And the minute that you start adopting children and empowering other people to adopt children, your mind and heart is drawn back to your own status as those who have been adopted. And so I don't think that those two things can be separated at all. So in the book, what I'm doing is laying out a vision of what it means to have been adopted into the family of God. And I never speak of adopted children because I don't think there's any such thing. Adopted is a past tense verb. It's not an adjective. And so those who have been adopted into the family of God, it tells us something about who we are. It also then ought to spur us toward bringing in orphans into our families and making them children, sons, and heirs.
Dan had made a good point. Dan Kruger's in the studio here with me, and he had made an excellent point about tying those two things together. And, of course, he's been doing that since he's been with Carolina Hope Christian Adoption Agency.
Mm-hmm.
He had mentioned that he's seeing a bit of a resurgence in theology and an interest in theology. And so right along with that, as you were connecting these two thoughts, there should be a correlating interest in adopting children. Are you seeing that take place?
Well, it is. And because a lot of times the attitudes that we have toward adoption really show us our attitudes toward ourselves and toward God.
Mm.
So, for instance, one of the reasons why I was driven to write this book was in answering some questions from people. People would say to me, for instance, about the two boys that we adopted from Russia. People would often say, so are they brothers?
Mm-hmm.
And my response was, well, they are now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, but are they really brothers? Yeah, now they're really brothers. Well, but you know what I mean. And, of course, what they meant was, do they share the same bloodline? Do they share the same DNA? And there's an assumption there that if they share what really matters, which is the flesh, then at least they'll have one another. And that was an infuriating question to me because the question rendered them still orphans, just orphans that are being taken care of better in our family. And I was trying to communicate, no, that's not at all what's happening here. They are now our sons. They are really part of the family. But the more I thought about it, that's exactly the question going on in the early Christian churches in Galatia and in Rome and in Corinth and in Philippi and in Ephesus. You had the question between Jews and Gentiles, are we really brothers? Do we really share the things that matter? And the things that mattered to them were the things that were, as Paul says, according to the flesh. I think the reason why so many people in our churches are unwilling to adopt children has to do with that very same mentality. We believe that what is really important is biology. What really is important is entitlement. We don't understand the fact that we've been brought into an entirely different storyline, an entirely different household. And so I think you've got the same principle at work when you have people who don't care that much about adoption because they see it as almost a second best thing for people who can't have children any other way. It's the very same principle at work in churches in which people don't love one another and don't receive one another as brothers and sisters. So I think that the more that you have churches that emphasize adoption, the more that you have churches that say we are intent on building families that don't necessarily look alike, you're also going to see, corresponding with that, churches – that are receiving one another as brothers and sisters, even though they don't necessarily look alike or make the same amount of money or run in the same kinds of circles. And once that starts happening, I think you're on the precipice of revival.
I'm reminded of that scripture verse in the Old Testament that God has set the solitary in families.
That's right.
And just talking about the attitude of the church altogether. That was interesting how you argued both ways. We've been arguing from the theology to the, you know, the physical or earthly adoption, but you just did it completely the opposite.
Well, for me, it happened the opposite way. I was someone who had to learn some hard truths that I thought I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had preached through Galatians, through Romans, through Ephesians. I had taught on the doctrine of adoption many, many times. But when my wife first came to me and said, I'm going to an adoption seminar in our community, because we were struggling through infertility and miscarriages, my first response to her was, I don't have time to go to that adoption seminar. And what I said was, I don't mind adopting children. I'd be glad to adopt all kinds of children, but I want the first one to be mine. That was my response. And then as the Lord crucified that in my own heart and showed me that what I was looking for was idolatrous. I was looking for my own flesh. I wasn't looking for a child. And as he really knocked me down through that, and gave me this love for these two boys that I could never have imagined in any other way, then slowly I started to realize, you know what? I did not understand Ephesians and Romans and Galatians at all. I was missing something. I really saw myself as the natural born child. And I didn't see myself as someone, as God says to Israel, I found you as a baby wallowing in your own blood. I didn't see that. I didn't recognize that until that moment. So for some people, they see the glorious big picture of our adoption in Christ, and then that leads them to adopt children. For others of us, God leads us toward adoption and breaks our heart and turns us then to find out and to discover who we are in Christ.
Well, Dr. Moore, that is excellent. I want to let the folks know, too, that that little bit of a story you had told there about people asking you whether the children were brothers or not, you relate that in an article, I think, that was out in Touchstone magazine.
Right.
And so I'll put a link to that article on our website as well so that people can go out there and read that for themselves. I know that we told you that you would just be here for 15 minutes, and I know you got to run to another meeting. We've got a caller on the line, and I'm not sure if the caller will relate to you or not. Can you hold on for just a minute? Okay. Let's go to the caller then. We got Mark on line two. Mark, welcome into the program today.
Yeah, thanks. Just a comment about maybe it's related to adoption, but maybe get expanded even further. At least it does in my own mind. And that is the doctrine of election. Because that, you know, that goes all the way back to the deep recesses of the Old Testament. And if we look at how God chooses his own in relation to how we choose our children, it puts the, at least in my mind, it puts the whole process of adoption on a very, very high plane, being that, you know, what happens randomly by birth in most families happens spiritually as well as physically in adoption, in that, you know, there's a conscious choice by the parent to choose the child. And that's a very, very noble thing.
Dr. Moore, you want to comment on that connection between election and adoption?
Yeah, Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, ties these two together. You have been elected to adoption as sons, predestined to adoption as sons. That adoption is found in Christ. Now, sometimes when Christians hear the word election or predestination, Christians become very nervous about that because they assume that that means that you have this very arbitrary, capricious God, and because they've seen people who have been so divided over this issue. Now, I'm not really particularly concerned about all of the particularities of election. All Christians believe in election. Not all Christians agree on how that election fits with human freedom and where that tension, how that tension is to be resolved, if it is to be resolved. But all Christians believe in election. That's a mere Christian doctrine that's found in the scriptures. And what the New Testament is revealing about election is the same thing that God is telling to Israel in Deuteronomy about his election of Israel. And that is, number one, you don't have anything to boast about. You don't have any reason to boast in your flesh. You're here because God took the initiative to pursue you. And then number two, you really belong here. Paul is writing to the church at Rome and at Ephesus and saying, you're not here accidentally. God welcomes you into this family because he wants you here, and nothing's going to separate you from his love.
Dr. Moore, thank you for that answer there. I'm sorry, but that music means I've got to run to a very quick commercial break. We said that we would let you go at this break. Thank you very much for being with us on the program today.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Here's Joyce Meyer.
When somebody comes and says, you know, look, I want to sow financially into your ministry, but I just want to tell you that I am making myself available to you. If you need me to volunteer, if you need me to run an errand, if whatever you need me for, I'm giving myself to you. I'm putting myself at your disposal by the will of God. Man, that's like, whoa, that comes off a whole bunch of other levels.
Enjoying everyday life with Joyce Meyer. Weekday mornings at 6:15 and 10 o'clock on Christian Talk 660.
God has really blessed our ministry at Strides. Hi, this is Dr. Everett. 30 local children depend on our scholarships to solve learning problems, but funds are low, so we've had to turn some away. Will you sponsor a child? Just $65 can bring a child up one grade level. If God lays it on your heart to help a child, call 246-9898. Our website is www.stridestutor.org. Strides is a nonprofit organization.
Paul, anyone who knows you love pizza.
Isaac, I do indeed, and whenever I'm out at the Woodruff Road area, I go to Stevie B's. It's the all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. Now listen, this buffet goes all day long. They're open till 9 o'clock in the evening. They've got over 70 different kinds of pizza. 12 pizzas are out all the time. Listen, when you walk in, the folks are friendly. They'll make you a fresh pizza. They'll make you one at your request. I love it.
Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville.
Hey kids, Hidden Treasure Vacation Bible School will soon be here. Dr. Indiana Chowers is diligently deciphering the map that will lead to the discovery of the greatest treasure man has ever known. And listen, children of the Easley-Powdersville area, you've been selected to receive a special invitation to view and follow this sacred map with the help of our trusted guides. So come join Mount Moriah Baptist Church June 22nd through 26th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Call 269-7244 to register.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship are dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. If you would like more information on our biblical counseling materials, log on to callingfortruth.org. Now here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into the last segment of the Calling for Truth radio program today. As you can tell from the broadcast, we're moving pretty quickly through guests here today, and we appreciate our guests being on with us to talk about these subjects. You can see very quickly in the conversation, they know what they're talking about. They're informed. They're passionate about that. They tie it very closely to the Word of God, which is most important. And so we just really appreciate them being here with us. First, we spoke with Dr. Joel Beakey about his book, Heirs with Christ, The Puritans on Adoption. Dan Kruver is here with us in the studio. Dan, we're going to sum this all up in just a few minutes. But, of course, Dan is with Carolina Hope Christian Adoption Agency. There's a link to their website on our website as well. And then just for about 10 to 15 minutes there, we spoke with Dr. Russell Moore, who's the Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and he's also the Executive Director of the Henry Institute. They just do a great job. You'd really enjoy their blogs and their articles that they post out there. There's a link to the Henry Institute on our website as well. And so we tried to make all of those resources available for you so you can go there after the broadcast and be able to see these different resources. Well, to our callers, you still have time to call in if you'd like. Let me give you that number. We're down to the last 5 minutes or so. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. And we'll take your call as Dan and I are kind of summing up what some of the discussion was about today. Dan, these have been certainly interesting interviews, haven't they? And I wanted to talk with you, you know, just about some other ways that the truth of adoption in Christ should inform the way that we look at earthly adoption.
Well, there are a number of ways, and that's one of the things that we're going to explore with our Together for Adoption conferences, is just looking at some of the other applications that our vertical adoption has for horizontal adoption. You can't talk long about, at least you shouldn't talk long about, adoption without considering the Trinity, because all three persons of the Trinity are involved in our adoption. Mm-hmm. As Paul says in Galatians 4, God the Father sent his Son into the world that we might receive adoption as sons, and then he sends the Spirit of his Son who cries in our hearts, Abba, mm-hmm. Father. So you have the Trinity involved in this. So I think ultimately when you look at adoption is about relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's about God enlarging the circle of communion which he has enjoyed with his eternal Son, so that we are able by grace to participate mm-hmm. in that communion, in that fellowship. And so when we think about adoption being about relationship, then that, you know, that should trickle down into how we view orphans.
Mm-hmm.
That what an orphan lacks the most is a relationship with father and mother, which mm-hmm. we were created to be. To be in that kind of relationship. So that itself has implications to how we view orphans, that we should not view them as projects,
mm-hmm.
but as ones with whom we are going to have a family relationship.
Right. So many connections there between the theology of adoption and earthly adoption, as you term it. I think Dr. Beakey there was making the point of even how we view our brothers and sisters in Christ. And then, of course, Dr. Moore very candidly talking about how he viewed these things and, you know, saying that these things were sinful in the way that he was thinking about this, that had to be crucified by the Spirit of God, his way of thinking about adoption. Those are very poignant points that these folks made on this particular issue. It's much broader than we think about it initially, isn't it?
It is. It's so far-reaching in its implications. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a way to look at all of life and influences how we relate to each other
mm-hmm.
within the household of God, because we are part of a household,
mm-hmm.
and how we relate to our Father, on our Heavenly Father, and also to our earthly fathers and our sons and daughters.
It speaks to this idea of transracial issues and those types of things as well, for sure, I think, as we... You mentioned a key word that keeps popping back into my mind here is the idea of relationships. I mean, the Christian life is all about relationships. First and foremost, our relationship with our Heavenly Father and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and then our relationship with the people in the church, and then our relationship to people that are yet outside of Christ, and then how the gospel then plays a role, a strong role, a vital role in our relationships in our homes. And so just, you know, relationship being affected by the gospel is the common denominator that we see in all of this discussion, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Dan, it's been a pleasure to have you on today. Our time, every time you're on, it seems like the broadcast is really only about 10 minutes long rather than 60 minutes long. But our time is gone again, and I want to reference your website where people can get all the information about Together for Adoption. Let me give you that website again. It's www.togetherforadoption.org. And out there, you'll find information about some of these conferences. There's one coming up here not too far away, right? I don't know if
November 1st. We don't have that on the website yet, okay. But over the next several days we'll have more and more stuff.
Excellent. And so people can go right out there to that site to be looking for that. We just thank you, Dan, for all of your work. Folks may assume that a lot of what was done here today, that I did the work behind it, but you really were the driving force and the real workhorse behind them. I was more of the show horse. You'd be the workhorse, I'd be the show horse. And so thank you very much for the work that you're doing on this subject. I think you have caused us to think about it at a whole different level, the idea of adoption, and we just really appreciate the work you're doing over there at Carolina Hope Christian Adoption Agency.
We really appreciate you partnering with us in getting this out. Really, really appreciate it.
Well, good. Thanks again, and I hope you enjoyed the broadcast today. Dr. Paul Dean will be with you tomorrow right here on Calling for Truth.
Thanks again for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. To contact us for more information about our ministry, the resources that we have to offer, or to make a tax-deductible donation to our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship. If you have enjoyed today's program, be sure to join us each weekday at 1 o'clock for Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660 WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.